Because Joseph, in many ways, has a much lesser role than Mary in the Christmas story, in the gospel accounts. And here we see it tells us about Joseph. It says he was a young, it doesn't give his age, but it's likely that he was a young man, probably in his late teens or maybe early 20s. And we see right away that he was described as righteous or honorable. So he was someone that people could put their trust in. It's later on in the Gospels that we find in Matthew and in Mark. In Matthew's Gospel, we find that Joseph was a carpenter. Mark's Gospel tells us that Jesus followed in his father's footsteps because it mentions in Mark's Gospel that Jesus' father was a carpenter. So both Jesus and Joseph were carpenters. And both here in Matthew chapter 1 and then also in Luke chapter 1 when it's talking about Mary, we see that the word is that they were betrothed or pledged to each other. Now to give you the insight into that situation, in the custom and culture of that time, there were three stages to a marriage. The first was an engagement when the parents of the couple would get together to discuss the suitability of the proposed linking of the two families. And so that was done often when the people concerned and the young were really still quite young. And then a few years later, there would be a betrothal or pledging. And that was a much more formal occasion. There would be a public announcement about that. And it was usual that the situation would be that a full marriage would take place about a year or so after the betrothal. And so in some ways, the betrothal perhaps could be seen like an engagement that we have in our culture. But there's a significant difference in the fact that once a couple were betrothed, the only way that joining of them together could be broken was either through the unfortunate death of one of the parties or through divorce, just as it would be in a marriage. And so the situation that we find ourselves in, as we read here in verse 19, it says, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. And again, there were two aspects to divorce in that custom and culture. The man could make a public, loud announcement, usually in the temple courts, to say that he was divorcing his betrothed partner, usually because of her unfaithfulness. But the other way was to do it in a much quieter way, just discussing it with the other family members and going through with divorce that way. Excuse me. And so we find that Joseph is living up to that characteristic of being an honorable man, a righteous man, and the fact that he chose to do this in a quiet way. But God had other plans. God was at work in this situation, and Joseph didn't realize it at that time. I mean, when we read the first chapters 1 and 2 of Matthew, and then chapters 1 and 2 of Luke, we see just how busy angels are in those days. I mean, there's the angel visiting Zechariah who would become the father of John the Baptist. There was the angel visit to Mary. There was the angels visiting the shepherds on the hillside. And here we read of the angel visiting Joseph. And so one night as he went to bed, no doubt his mind in a whirl because of all that he'd found out that Mary was pregnant, and he knew it wasn't his. And so that's why he chose to go through this divorce quietly. But then the angel appeared and gave him this incredible news that it was God that had caused Mary to be pregnant, that the Holy Spirit had moved in her womb and caused this pregnancy to come to pass. Unbelievable. And yet we find that Joseph accepted this. He accepted that God was speaking to him. And so now he has another option. He has this option now of taking Mary as his wife before they were fully married. And again, we see his obedience to what God had said. You know, he took on board what God had, through this angel, had spoken to him. He just obeyed and got on with it then. Even although we can suspect that the gossip mongers of Nazareth were actually probably having a field day about this coming together of Joseph and Mary. And so the couple, after Mary's visit to her cousin Elizabeth, are now living in Nazareth. And everything is happy and going through normally. But then there is this injunction from Caesar Augustus in Rome to say that he wanted a census taken to know how many people were under his jurisdiction as the Roman emperor. That's some way of boosting your ego, isn't it? Finding out how many people are subservient to you. And so we find that Joseph not only obeyed God's commands, he obeys the earthly command of the civilian authorities. And even although it couldn't have happened at a worse time for him and for Mary, because by this time her pregnancy was well advanced. And they had a long and difficult journey because it's over 100 miles between the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea. So it wasn't going to be an easy trip. It was going to take a good few days, probably at least 5, 6, maybe even 10 days, especially with Mary being so pregnant. But Joseph was there for her the whole time. He was by her side. And so he must have been relieved when they reached Bethlehem and thought, well, we're here now, we can find somewhere to stay. But of course they couldn't. They couldn't. But he knew, as we saw earlier, that he was a righteous man. So he would have known those scriptures that foretold that the Christ child would be born in Bethlehem. And so he is realizing that he has this enormous responsibility, that when this baby is born, he is going to be the earthly father of the Christ child. And one can imagine his frustration as they went from house to house in Bethlehem, trying to find somewhere to stay. And eventually someone offers them a cave or or a stable next to their home. It's interesting, one of the commentaries that I was reading about this, the word that is used for in the gospel accounts could actually be also seen as there was no guest room available. So Joseph, because of his line being of David, along with the hundreds of others who no doubt had crammed into Bethlehem, perhaps thought that he would get a favorable welcome. But so did everyone else. And so there was no room available. And so we find that they have this, having to use this stable or this cave for the baby to be born. And although there's no mention of it, I don't know. But I think it is highly unlikely that this young girl, probably in her mid-teens, is probably about the age of Mary at the time that she was going to have this baby. I think there would have been a midwife there to help her. I think they would have found some family member or someone around in the district who had been able to help her. Because here was this young girl having her first baby. And although it's not mentioned in scripture, I just wonder whether God would have moved and found someone to help her through the birth. And so she gives birth to this baby. And she, like Joseph, Mary, like Joseph, knows that it's a special baby. Because they've both been visited by angels. They've both been told that this is the Christ child. This is the Messiah. This is the one who's going to save his people. And that's why they gave him the name Jesus. And before they knew what had happened, all of a sudden, the place where the baby is, there's a group of shepherds saying, look, we've just seen this mighty vision. We've just heard again from angels telling us about what's happened. And we've come to worship. And we realize that it tells us that Mary treasured all these things in her heart. But Joseph would as well. He would have realized again, time and time again, the responsibility that was laid on him at this time. He was trustworthy and reliable and did his very best for Mary and the baby. And it's likely that they stayed in and around Bethlehem and Jerusalem for some time, because on the eighth day the baby was circumcised as named as Jesus. But then there was another stage that had to go through, and that was when Mary was able to return to the temple after having given birth, and that was normally about 40 days. And that's when they meet Simeon and Anna in the temple courts. And they both, these two older people, who God has moved in their lives and gave them that great wisdom and that great song that Simeon sings over Jesus. Awesome words. And again, we find it says that Mary treasured them in her heart. And Joseph would as well, I would say. But before and then after that, while Joseph was still caring for Mary and the baby, they're visited by the wise men, the magi, those men from the east. And of course, they gave the game away to Herod, because they went to him and asked him, which was quite understandable in some way, because this was going to be a king. So it had to be in the palace. And of course, Herod then threatens to kill all the boys under two. But again, Joseph is receptive to God. He's open to God because again, an angel appears to him and tells him to flee with Mary and the baby to Egypt. And so we see time and time again, Joseph is open to God, hearing from God through angels. And so he takes Mary and the baby to Egypt for their safety. He is very, very much the one who is responsible for the upbringing of Jesus at this time. And then they're given word, again, through a dream, that they can, after Herod's death, that they can return back. And this time, they don't go back to Bethlehem, they go back to their hometown of Nazareth. But time and again, we find that Joseph brought Jesus up in a way that was honouring to God. In Luke chapter 2, verse 41, we find that they were again on their way to worship at the temple. It says in Luke 2, 41, every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. And after the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind. And they were unaware of it, thinking that he was in the company of his other friends. And they go back. They realize Jesus isn't around. And I don't know, as a parent, if you've ever experienced or had the experience of your child going missing, sometimes for a few minutes, sometimes for a bit longer, and panic sets in. We have experienced that. I remember one year shows you how long ago it was. It was when Windsor was Windsor Safari Park, not Windsor Legoland. And we went to there, and we were up at the top of the park sitting at the picnic table. And Christine's mum was with us, and we'd got everything ready. And Fiona said, "Where's Mark?" And we searched high and low. And then Fiona looked up, and beside where we were, there was one of these great big high slides that is about 20, 30 feet high, and they go down on mats. And there was this little boy of probably about 18 months to 2 years, peering over the edge of the rope, looking down. And so I had to negotiate my way past all the crowd who were waiting to slide down and bring him back down. Not on a mat, but by the steps. So that caused chaos. So I can identify with how Joseph and Mary felt at that time. And so that is the final reference that we find to Joseph in Scripture. But he was obviously in the family situation for some time after this, because we do read that Jesus had other brothers and sister. And so the family unit is complete. We don't know what happened to Joseph, whether he died while Jesus was growing up or at what stage. But again, time and time again, we see Joseph's faithfulness to Mary and to Jesus and to God. His openness to God, his obedience to God, his reliability and his trustworthiness. And in many ways, these are characteristics and traits that we too should mirror, that we too should have in our lives, that we, like Joseph, should be open and listen to God, because he can speak to us through dreams. He can speak to us through visions. We need to believe that. And we have his word as a guide for us. And we need to be obedient to him and to be trustworthy, to be people in whom people can put their trust. And so Joseph did that for Jesus. The question is, what are we going to do for Jesus? in our lifetime. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for your word and the truths that it contains. And we pray, Father, that you would be with us for the rest of this day. Thank you for this time this morning. And we pray your blessing on the carols by candlelight, the service this evening at 6 o'clock, that you would be in the midst of that too. So, Father God, we come and we thank you again for your word. Help us, we pray, to be open to you, to hear you speak into our hearts and minds and lives, and to respond to what you tell us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.